We're going to open things up with a conversation about online shopping. And, you know, I used to shop more, but then the dollar, you know, when the changes and it's not really worth it. And for a while, eBay was really cool. I haven't bought anything off eBay for a long time. Good thing. The last thing I did order, though, came through the States, and it came by mail. If it comes to a courier, you're going to pay a lot more because taxes are collected, there's brokerage fees and all that. Our first guest this afternoon wants to keep the tax on online imports and stop favoring U.S. interests. That's what he's written. It's a special to the Financial Post. And we welcome to our airwaves here in Halifax, John Williamson. He's Vice President of Research at the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. And John, welcome to the show.
Good day. Great to be with you and your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
Are you a HIP fan? Did you watch the show on Saturday night?
I had it on the radio. I didn't actually watch it, but I was listening to it, I think, like an awful lot of Canadians across the country.
We watched it at home, and my wife went to the grocery store. She said it was almost like it was a Super Bowl. It was like that kind of, that level of, you know, foods and snacks and people just really making it an event.
No, that's right. Just that level of saturation on the airways, television, radio, and just people talking about it as well. So, you know, you're beginning, if you get around Canada, you're beginning to see folks, you know, people wearing Tragically Hip T-shirts, people that attended the concert. So one of my work colleagues at Ames flew to Ottawa for the weekend to catch the show. So it was a big deal, I think, for an awful lot of Canadians.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is, you know, we always talk about economic impact and, you know, in a concert or an event in a city. This, I would suggest, if you can find a way to measure it, that there was a big bump in you know, economic activity and interest and, you know, all that good stuff.
Well, I think so, because I mean this is one of these big moments, I think, for Canadian culture, where a band that an awful lot of us grew up listening to, a great band, who it's you know, right to the last concert note in Kingston the other night. I think they're just so well known to so many Canadians from coast to coast that, you know, people wanted to participate in it, and for some it meant buying tickets to the concert, for others it meant buying some old albums or going online and downloading them. I think it was a big deal for the economy and for Canadians right across the country.
We've got John Williamson here on the line with us this afternoon. He is Vice President of Research of Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. What is it you're trying to get across with this latest article, this one in the Financial Post, about taxation, about the fee, this $20 exemption limit? That's what we have currently?
That's right. So this will probably make me a little unpopular with an awful lot of your listeners. There's a proposal in Ottawa right now that would see that exemption go from $20 to as high as $200, which means that if a Canadian consumer was to put a mail order in for really anything south of the border, from clothes to boots to something you might get in a hardware store to even a barbecue under $200, the proposal is that the purchase would just sail through the border, which is a good idea to keep those barriers low, but it would also be exempt from paying the HST, which of course, as we know as consumers, adds 15% to the price every time we as Canadians buy something in Atlantic Canada. Mm-hmm. And the proposal is being made by companies like eBay, some of the large courier companies. There's some think tanks or some groups in Washington pushing for this as well, because they see it as an opportunity to increase the flow of goods from the United States to Canada. And so as a consumer, that sounds great. The problem, though, as I see it, is that that will put Canadian retailers at a sizable tax disadvantage. If they have to charge the HST when we go into a hardware store or a clothing store, or to buy that, you know, barbecue under $200, they'll have to continue to charge the HST, but sales coming from the U.S. under that exemption won't. Mm. And on top of that, what makes this proposal really perverse is that the suggestion is not to exempt all online purchases, but just purchases that come from outside our border, so primarily from the U.S. or even overseas. But what that means is that if we were to order something from, say, the Bay in Canada or Canadian Tire, online, those would also be subject to the HST. So, in effect, this proposal is really giving foreign companies a huge advantage, or a large advantage anyway, over Canadian retailers, whether they have a store or they're operating on the internet. And so, while I think the idea to ease the traffic on the borders is a good one, the solution is really to bring down some of the customs and duty costs, so goods can travel they're less costly to get across the border. But just saying there's going to be a blanket exemption is the wrong course, because it puts Canadian retailers at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. John Williamson, as mentioned, is with us here on the program this afternoon. My understanding, though, is that for the most part, as Canadians, aren't we supposed to remit the tax? Isn't that supposed to be the way the system works?
Well, precisely. The idea behind the HST is that when there's a purchase in Canada, that is when consumers pay that tax on something they're buying here domestically, or if they're bringing it in from the United States or elsewhere. So you're right. That's the way the system is. It's meant to be uniform and broad right across the country on all purchases. That way, all retailers are treated the same, and the government gets its share of tax. This proposal is looking to exempt one sort of transaction, which is online foreign purchases that come into Canada.
Well, I was mentioning that I'd ordered something online. The last thing I ordered online came in the mail, came through the U.S. Postal Service through to Canada, and right there on that green sticker, the declaration sticker, the retailer had put an item cost less than $20 on it. I paid more than $20 for it. So essentially, though, you know, this is unenforceable, though, isn't it?
Well, it's not that it's unenforceable. I mean, that's one reason why I think there's a cost on the border, because, you know, merchants are meant to declare the true value of the goods. That way, a company like Canada Post then can turn around and charge you the HST. And that's where it gets frustrating for a lot of consumers. There's an extreme example where there's one example I wrote in the newspaper where a purchase of $21, so a dollar over the limit, mm-hmm. purchase of $21 was made in the United States, and by the time the good arrived in Canada, there was $25 in custom fees, duty fees, brokerage fees for the consumer, for the courier company, and of course the tax. Now the HST of that $25 only amounts to about $2.70. The HST is actually not the big problem here. It's all the other fees that have been put into the system. And that's where I do point the finger at Ottawa to fix that system, to bring down those costs. So we do have a border that allows goods to flow back and forth, and that way the taxes that we all pay are applied, but not all these other fees that are just driving up the cost at the border and really serving as a disincentive for people like you and probably your listeners to do a little more shopping online. You know, even though they might want to pay the tax, what they don't want to pay is all these other fees, which they see as unfair, and I think rightly so.
Hmm. Given that the value of the Canadian dollar, it was much closer to par not that long ago. So I would assume that online shopping, you know, follows that trend when the Canadian dollar is down, that fewer people are interested in investing unless it's something that you can't get locally.
Well, that's right. Look, I mean, I live in southern New Brunswick, and I'm 20 minutes from the main border, and we see a noticeable difference right now with 25 to 30% discount on Canadian money. There are far fewer day trips going into the United States than before. There's also more Americans coming into Atlantic Canada to vacation as well. So you're right. It does discourage it a little bit because things are more expensive. But the problem here with this proposal is that, you know, goods are typically a little cheaper in the United States. Sometimes there are big savings to be had. But with this change, it would mean that not only would goods not be subject to the HST, when goods are sent from the United States to Canada, they also don't even pay, they're not subject to the state sales tax as well.
Right.
So in effect, it's a proposal that would really remove the tax. And again, as a consumer, that sounds great. I would love that. I would love to be able to order, you know, what I need for, you know, small household purchases, my clothes purchases, things like that, online and pay no tax. But I also recognize that would put Canadian retailers who are working hard, playing by the tax rules, at a significant disadvantage. And that would impact their sales. It would also, over time, impact jobs here in Canada as well.
We've got John Williamson here on the line with us, Vice President of Research at Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. And I'm guessing you probably have had a bit of pushback from people about this.
Well, not as much as you'd think, because on the surface it sounds great. Like I've talked to some of the other research groups across the country, some of the other groups that are involved with consumer affairs. And while we all like the idea of a free lunch, a lot of us also understand that if governments begin to lose tax revenue on this, they're likely just going to make it up elsewhere. So in the end, we're going to, as Canadians, we're going to end up paying the taxes that the government require of us to pay for our social services. But actually, I'm finding that for most people, when they think about, wait a second, why would we give American retailers a tax advantage we wouldn't give to Canadians? They do see the unfairness of that. And they begin to think, yeah, you know what, better just to bring the taxes down on everyone, on all businesses on both sides of the border, instead of giving American companies a tax-free status selling to Canadians. Because, look, we'd all like the 15% discount of not paying the HST. I would appreciate that as well for the few purchases I make online. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize that comes at a cost of a bad tax policy that has a huge, huge loophole that allows, again, these primarily U.S. companies to escape without paying taxes, while we're insisting that Canadian retailers pay taxes. So, you know, I think as people think it through, they're realizing, yeah, there's got to be a better way to clean the border system up that doesn't involve giving foreign companies a tax advantage in Canada that we don't give to Canadian firms.
Well, I appreciate the thought, the story, and the time that you gave us today to talk a little bit about this. And John, we'll follow up. We'll see. Clearly, we'll keep our eyes on this to see whether there's enough pressure to change this or whether it's going to stay the way it is.
I'll be listening as well. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
John Williamson is mentioned with the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies.